Good morning. It's nice to see everybody waddling in after Thanksgiving dinner, stuffed to the gills with turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and all that. We have a few visitors with us. We extend a very special welcome to you. Glad that you came to worship with us. Have a number of prayer requests that I need to mention before we get started. Angela asked prayers for her daughter, Malia. She has been having stomach problems and will be having an endoscopy and a biopsy this coming Saturday, the 2nd, to try to find out what is causing her stomach to hurt. And we definitely will keep little Malia in our prayers. That's a tough thing to have to go through. Our sister Catherine Sales praises God and is thankful to be here at services today with her brethren, and asks continued prayers for the church and that Christ will be exalted. And we totally agree. Scott Medley requests prayers that he's looking for work. And he's praying for luck in that avenue. This is a tough economy right now. I feel for you, and we will keep Scott in our prayers, and hopefully he will be able to find something soon. Diamond requests prayers. She says, "Pray for me, brethren. My spirit is not thriving as before. I am struggling with a quenched spirit and being able to put the Lord first. I also ask prayers for strength, commitment, and zeal." I'm right there with you, Diamond. And she says, "I ask prayers for my daughter, Dakota, as she's going to be having tonsil surgery December the 8th. So we will keep little Dakota in our prayers. She wants prayers for a quick and efficient process and a speedy recovery for Dakota. We will remember her. Sam is home recovering from a knee injury, and Pete is at home with another gout flare-up. I've never had that, but everything I hear that gout is extremely painful. Tracy and Marion are both homesick. Got a text from him yesterday saying that they weren't going to be here today. Sherry Boland is sick at home with a cold. She has COPD. I don't know if you're aware of that. And so any respiratory issues hits her extremely hard. Billy Bob Shaw, many of you have known. He was baptized here a month or so ago. He called regretting not going to be able to be here today. He's a truck driver by trade and has a job driving to Porterville, California this morning, and requested prayers from the congregation. Also, our brother in India, Vallon, he had a baptism this past week during his evangelism efforts in a town. He was able to baptize somebody. We rejoice in that. And speaking of baptisms, Frank, we have a new brother in Christ. Frank was baptized yesterday. He has been struggling for quite some time. He had gone through the process of a baptism years ago, and he's recently been struggling that he did it for the right reason, that he's had trouble letting go of the past. And he was baptized yesterday with the valid baptism. You can be dunked many times, but the scriptures say there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. I We rejoice in Frank. His heart is in the right place. And today, he is our brother in Christ. He's been attending with us for quite some time, but today he's our brother. Let's go to God on behalf of those that had sent in prayer requests and keep them in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you, our Creator. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We want to be able to approach you with clean hands and a clean heart. Dear God, we rejoice in the baptisms that was done in India by Valon. We rejoice in Frank's that was done yesterday. Dear God, we ask that you be with those that are requesting prayers of strength, for recovery, for health, for their spirit. We ask that as their brothers and sisters, we can encourage them, uplift them. We ask that the power of your word will affect them and that they can be encouraged and strengthened to serve you to the utmost. We hope that everything that has been done so far has been pleasing to you. We ask that you be with us the rest of the service, and that the lesson that is to be presented is done in spirit and in truth and pleasing and glorifying to you. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Our lesson today is called evolution. You're very, very lucky I am limited on my technical abilities with the computers, because if I could have figured out how to put some of your faces up there, I'd have done it just for a smile. But I couldn't figure it out, and I'm very limited with computer stuff. But evolution is something that is relatively, in the big scheme of things, a relatively new concept, going back, you know, not even 200 years. Evolution, by definition, is the gradual change over time. Kids in school, as somebody that's been in the school system for teaching for 39 years, and then going through the public school system and college here in Las Vegas. I think I've been in school every day, you know, all but the first 5 years of my life. I've been in part of what has been in public education. And they teach the wrong stuff. I'm here to tell you. I'm concerned for our kids. That's why it's important for our kids to learn at home. Science teachers and science classrooms would have you believe that we descended from monkeys. Sometimes I look at myself and I wonder maybe so, but that we've descended from monkeys, that we started from a single-celled amoeba. And over billions of years, we've evolved to what we are today. Parents, I urge you to keep on top of what your children are learning in school. Because kids, when you hear that in school, you know that that's not the truth. They're teaching. In fact, just 100 years ago, it was illegal to teach the theory of evolution. It was called the Trial of the Century, 1925. John Scopes was put on trial for teaching the theory of evolution, and they called it the Trial of the Century. Today, it is illegal to teach the biblical story of creation. It's illegal. You can't do it. In all but like private schools or something like that. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible debunks this theory of evolution. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Wasn't a big bang theory. I've had studies with people or discussions with people that maybe believe in the big bang theory or believe in this single-celled amoeba theory that leads to me today. I always ask them the question, who created the two masses that clashed together? Who created the mass that caused the big bang? Where did the single cell amoeba come from? They can't answer it. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And at the end of the last verse of the chapter, it says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day, not the sixth billionth year, the sixth day. I am dead serious right now. If we can't believe the first chapter of the Bible, we might as well throw it out. We might as well go leave right now, turn out the lights, and beat the Baptists to the buffets. Might as well. If we can't believe the opening chapter of Genesis, all bets are off about the Bible. How can we believe Paul? How can we believe Moses? How can we believe the Apostle Peter? If we can't believe the opening verse of the Bible. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In John 1, our scripture reading from this morning, it says, in the beginning. This is how the Gospel of John starts out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And then if we jump to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, Jesus. Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 1, for by him all things were created that were in heaven and are on earth. It was created by a big bang. We started from single-celled amoebas and turned into fish, which turned into monkeys, which turned into Curtis. It doesn't say that. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Romans 1, verse 20, Paul is writing to the Romans. At the time, the most educated people there were. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Just looking around, you can see there's God. You can see God in a sunset. You can see God in a blade of grass. You can see God in the digestive system of an ant. That's God. Not a Big Bang, not a monkey. God. As Christians, and there's two messages today. Two messages. Getting two for one today. Second one's a freebie. As Christians, we should not believe or follow the theory of evolution as taught by the world. Creation was done by God. Case closed. Second lesson. But we do change. I do believe in evolution. Gradual change over time. I do believe in evolution. We change. I hope we do. I hope we're not the same person we were last year. I hope we're not the same person we were before we put Christ on in baptism. I hope we have different behaviors and conduct. I hope we're not doing the same things we did when we were living in the world. I hope we have a different attitude. That we're looking out of eyes different now as Christians than we did when we were in the world. We see things different. We've changed. We've evolved. Our knowledge of God's word, I hope that's increased. We're told to study daily, like the Bereans. And more than the knowledge of God's word, it's application. You can memorize scripture upon scripture upon scripture, but if you don't put it into action, it's worthless. Let's look at some scriptures. In Romans 12, in fact, most of the scriptures we're using today, you should be very well acquainted with, because I know I've used them within the last couple of months. Romans 12, 2. Paul tells the Romans, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like the things that are all around us, but be transformed. That's change. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We as Christians have to transform ourselves. Change. We don't stay the same way we were when we were in the world. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, no, but unless you repent. Repent is change. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You cannot stay the same way that you always are. You have to change. And Jesus says the alternative, if you don't, you will perish. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, Peter and the apostles were preaching to a crowd of thousands on the day of Pentecost, that this Jesus, whom you killed, was the Son of God. the Messiah. And it says at the beginning that these were devout Jews. They were devout men and women. And verse 37, it says, and when they heard this, when it clicked with them that this Jesus was the Messiah we've been living and waiting for, when they realized that, it says they were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter gives them the solution. And it's relatively simple. They've done an act that was so heinous in their mind. They cried out, we killed the Savior. We killed the Messiah. What could we ever do to appease for that? And Peter says, repent. Repent, change. And be baptized. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see just a few verses later, those that gladly received the word were baptized. And were not all of them that heard it could do it. Not all of them received that word. They heard it. They didn't receive it. Big difference. In 1 Corinthians, this verse, Dick and I have worn this verse out. It's one of those greasy spots in our Bible. Do you have a greasy spot in your Bible that you go to it a lot? I've got some pages that are literally stuck together that I go to them so much. I guess I got to wash my hands more. But in verse 9 and 10, Paul goes through a list of some sins that will make your toes curl. Homosexuality, adultery, covetousness, thieves, murderers. And then verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. What if we filled the blank in? What some of us used to be. Used to be. But Paul says, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were washed. We were cleansed. We were baptized. We were sanctified. Set apart to be holy. The priests in the Old Testament had to be sanctified before they could go before God and make the sacrifices for the people. They had to be set apart. They had to be sanctified. They were justified. They were made righteous in the sight of God. You used to be this, 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 and this. You. Us. Used to be X, Y, and Z. But we were washed. We repented. We've changed. Let's hope we changed. Let's hope we didn't go down a dry center and come up a wet center. Let's hope we've changed. Colossians, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, I've heard this before. I read the Bible once. I don't need it again. Increasing in the knowledge of God. The Apostle Peter outlines the pattern of growth. If anybody in the New Testament has the credibility to talk about change and growth, it's the Apostle Peter. You read about Peter in the Gospels, totally different person than the person later on in 1st and 2nd Peter. By the time he grew to and matured to be an elder. Totally different person. Wouldn't give him a plug nickel for the Peter of the Gospels. Jesus saw something in him and knew what he would become. Peter says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Ouch. Ouch. I needed steel-toed boots today. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Goes on to say, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. We have been cleansed. We have been cleansed from our old sins. Thank goodness for that. Two chapters later, he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow. He doesn't say, just put it on cruise control and ride out the rest of your life. Just coast. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. What he's telling us, and if anybody could tell us, it was Peter. You need to grow. You need to continue to mature. I used to be a knucklehead, and I'm not anymore. If I can do it, you can do it. That's what Peter's saying. Philippians. Paul's writing this from a jail cell. And in chapter 3, he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. And in the last recorded historical writings that we know of that Paul wrote to his beloved Timothy in 2 Timothy, he will say, I have run the race. I have finished it. I have fought the good fight. And there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And not only to me only, but to all those who love the Lord. There's a crown for us. Something that doesn't change is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We change. Jesus doesn't have to. He's the same for eternity. I'll leave you with the question. Jesus stays the same, but we should change and grow. We should evolve. There should be an evolution in our lives. Not from a monkey to something else, but as Christians. And the question is there. Have we changed? I hope we're a different person today than we were 1 year ago. And I hope we will be a year from now stronger and more mature than we are today. The lesson's yours. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation, if anybody has not put their Lord on in baptism, we have that opportunity to be saved, to be forgiven of our sins, and to press on to better things. If you need prayers of the congregation, we've already had prayers for a number of people. If you need to repent, if there's sin in your life and you need to repent and change, I urge you to don't wait. I'll do it tomorrow. Do it today. Whatever your need, as Kurt leads us in the invitation song, if you'd come forward, let your needs be known. We'll address them. Let's stand and sing.